There are more ways to celebrate than ever before at the Jeep Celebration Event. Hurry in for great deals today on the only brand that lets you go anywhere and do anything. And now, returning FCA lessees get $2,000 combined bonus cash, plus $500 Jeep Celebration bonus cash on the purchase of a 2021 Jeep Grand Cherokee L Limited. Lessee is solely responsible for early lease termination payments, fees, costs, and penalties. Current lease must end by 4/3/2023. Residency restrictions apply. Must take retail delivery from dealer stock by 3/31/2022. Jeep is a registered trademark.
Oh.
What's up, everybody? It's time for the Binge Boys, episode 190. How about that beat, though? I'm gonna let it ride for a minute.
Episode 190 is where you always make the switch ups.
Thought I'd do it just shy of 200. Shout out to Zaytoven for making that beat.
Oh yeah.
Not Zaytoven, although his nickname is Zay. So shout out to Isaiah for making that beat. He made the beat for another show. Oh, he made the beat for the show that never happened, for Donkeys and Elephants. Told him we wanted something a little more cinematic for the Binge Boys, so had to throw in the little old film reel starting up. So shouts to Isaiah for making that beat. Hope it was thumping those speakers.
Yeah, I was vibing.
Yeah, okay. Bet. Love to hear that you were vibing.
We were mobbing.
Episode 190. We got Matt and Tanner, as you can hear. What up, boys?
What's up? Pumped to be back.
Yeah,
I'm a little tanner than Tanner's a little tanner than he was.
Oh, right there.
Tanner, where'd you go?
Potato.
I went to
the fruit was so low hanging it was a potato.
Literally came from the ground.
I came from Orange Beach, Alabama.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What'd you do in Orange Beach?
Went to the beach, played golf.
Play golf?
Yeah.
Okay.
To. That's where I got most of the tan because I didn't put on any sunscreen.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I got really, 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 really burnt in the legs. I'm in some pain.
Yeah.
But it's okay. But we went with another family. And
who was this family? I've never seen this family before.
Have you never met them?
I've never seen them before in my entire life.
The Butchum family we went with.
I've heard their name, but I have never met them.
You'll meet them eventually.
They'll probably be at Tessa's graduation party, probably, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was super fun.
How do you guys know them?
Mom, well, actually, the girls.
Is, what's her name? Is Meg?
Megan.
Megan, is that her parents?
No, that's Emily's parents.
So Emily's the one whose parents were there?
Yeah.
Really? I don't know if I know Emily. Well, either way, it's not important right now. Shouts to them for going on vacation with the Smiths. So what'd you guys do? Did you guys stay in like an Airbnb or something?
It was like the house from the outside. We pulled up. We were like, I don't know. And then we went in. And it was like freaking awesome.
It was like a movie.
Oh yeah. And it was a two-story house and it was pretty fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you party?
Oh, every day.
Couldn't have been that
11
cool.
o'clock in the morning every day.
Of it.
We didn't see MTV Cribs.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know if we can trust you, but from the pictures I saw your mom post, it looked pretty cool. Yeah.
It was fun.
And you just enjoyed yourself a little spring break blasting?
Oh, yeah. A little spring break mint I had there.
Okay. 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 Matt, what'd you get into this weekend?
Not too much. Did a friend's barbecue on Friday. Shouts to Billy for running out of gas and serving us all basically raw burgers. No shade, of course. And then, yeah, man, just kind of hung out. Nothing too crazy around here. Just kept it 100, you know.
Yeah,
always.
We love keeping it 100.
Yeah, yeah.
What did I do?
What you get into, Logan?
I never
keeping it 100.
I can never remember what I did over the weekend ever. I can never remember. What did I do Friday? Well, first of all, I started first shift at the pizza place Wednesday night.
How'd that go?
It was pretty cool. Lots of cool people there. Shouts to them. I told them that I was an F-list celebrity. So if they're listening to this, shouts to Blue Moon. No free ads, though, so that's all you get. Started up, got trained a little bit. I've got a couple more training nights. I trained last night again, and then I go in Tuesday night, Thursday night, and that's it for training. And then I work Friday and Saturday nights.
Okay.
So I told him your boy could be available nights except for the Monday nights, because, you know, that's binge boys night.
When do you get off? What's the closing time?
So I'm a host / to go order taker. Hosts like also answer the phones and place orders at the computer. So
you're the secretary.
You pretty much go until the restaurant closes. And because of, well, I don't even want to say because of COVID, the restaurant closes on weekdays at 9 o'clock.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No, not at all. And then on the weekends, I think on Friday and Saturday nights, they close at 10. So
not bad.
Not bad at all. I mean,
but you probably get out more like 10 if you close at 9 because of all the, you know, responsibilities.
Oh, well, believe it or not, the hosts have very scaled back responsibilities than what I thought. Like Chili's, we had a lot, like a lot. Mm-hmm. But at shouts to Chili's.
Chili's. Chicken Crispers.
Oh, yeah.
No free ads.
Oh, yeah. No free ads. Hey, no more free ads.
You're right. Take that back. I take it back.
Come on, Big Mouth.
I just got.
Oh, ow. I love what you did there. Absolutely love that.
What'd he say?
He said Big Mouth. Can we mob it at Chili's? You best believe that if the Binge Boys ever get together in person, we're going to Chili's.
Dude, we need to sit at the bar and record a podcast. I don't think get a deal from them.
I don't think they'll allow that.
I just don't know if I can record a podcast at a Chili's. I feel like that's just a valley. That's a low point in my life.
You don't feel God in that Chili's? You don't think he'll be with us?
What if the Chili's CEO said, can you guys do this podcast for us in this Chili's?
I'm not going to tell the CEO of Chili's
That's a different thing. If we gorilla show up with just recording equipment to a Chili's and just plunk down at the bar, Bud Lights all around, and then record the Binge Boys, my life has gone very, very wrong.
Well, hopefully that happens one day. Why did I get to Chili's? Oh, yeah. So, the schedule says that you're off at like 8:39 or so. But last night I stayed till 10 and just kind of learned a little bit more from some of the people. And it actually turns out one of the people that worked there was actually a friend I had way back in college, but I haven't seen her since. And we just kind of like and she's one of the managers, and we kind of talked a little bit, kind of reminisced, kind of just like caught up about where we've both been the past 5 years since we've seen each other. So that was really cool. It's gonna be a good time. Your boy is incredibly nervous answering the phones, because, you know, as soon as you say like, hey, what can I help you or whatever, like they just start going.
And, I know
it's hard. Like they're just like, yeah, I'll have this, and I'm like, hold on, I'm still stuck on the gluten-free pizza. What'd you say you didn't want on it?
You got shake voice, don't you?
Oh, I so do, dude. Like
that'll happen to me too at little squeezers.
Yeah, no more free ads. We've mentioned like four restaurants tonight.
Well, I don't
not I, sponsored by any of them.
It's just like ridiculous. Squeezers. Like I pick up my ice cold Sierra Nevada little something hazy IPA, take a sip and shake my head at you guys giving out free ads.
And I pick up my Nestle Pure Life water and take a sip for that too.
Oh yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God it's not the same Chick-fil-A cup. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, dude, it finally bit the dust.
Yeah, when did it bite the dust?
Well, I dropped it, and I, you know, it kind of would crumbled because it wasn't really sturdy anymore.
Because it was like a 4 week old.
At that point, I tried to take it to the beach. So that was like a week ago.
Last time I saw you, we watched Godzilla versus Kong.
That was cool.
Shouts to last week's episode if you haven't listened to that to hear our review on Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh yeah.
But let's talk about this week. Programming notes, of course, this week in terms of the rundown of what we've got going on. Episode dropped today, Monday, for Dude, What About Sports, called Dude Opening Day, where Mitch and Austin talked about opening day baseball, talked about baseball stuff, talked about some sports news. It was pretty good. I listened this morning, not to brag. Then you're listening to this today. Hello, Tuesday, the Binge Boys. Thursday, we've got a run through coming out for School of Rock, starring Jack Black. Tanner and I definitely have recorded that, and we're definitely not recording it as soon as this episode is over.
Yeah.
Then on Friday, we've got an exchange with actually the CEO of Inkwell Publishers, which is the CEO of, you know, we've done a couple episodes interviewing authors here and there on the Binge Boys, and she was the brain behind that. I used to work with her at Holder. So big shouts to her. We had a really, really good conversation about, just being a self-starter and how she's lived in like 12 different countries and how she experienced racism as a kid. And it's a very, very good interview. One of the best I think I've ever done. So please go check that out on Friday. And yeah, that's the rundown for the week in terms of, announcements and stuff. Obviously, if this is your first time listening to the Binge Boys, shout out to you. Welcome. If you're a existing listener, welcome back. The premise is that each week my co-hosts, Matt and Tanner and I, we will break down the hottest in what's going on in the entertainment world. Usually it's TV and film, but we'll sprinkle in some music and video games and pop culture stuff if needed, if something big happens. Yes, we have listened to Taylor's version of Fearless, and it's currently on the rundown to discuss next week. I think we have a slow week this week in terms of new releases, so we are discussing that next week if we're game for that, Matt.
Yep, you won't believe what my favorite song is.
Oh, shit. Stay tuned till next week. I also want to know, so we'll talk off mic. But yeah, we'll be on the lookout for that. Tanner, sorry, you're going to have to listen to all 30 songs of Taylor Swift's Fearless.
Oh,
it's
really?
There's like 15 of them that you're going to recognize from back in the day, and you'll be like, oh my God, I forgot that this was a banger. Like,
okay.
So, but there's like a few new ones, and then there's the lesser known tracks from the album. Obviously, every album has the lesser known tracks.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. We'll be talking about that next week. But either way, to support the show, go follow us on Instagram. That's the biggest support system and fan base that the Binge Boys has. Over there, we post our top five lists, our reviews, announcements, stories. We'll do a poll here and there. Check us out. That's the most engaging way that you can interact with the Binge Boys. Also, if you listen on Spotify, make sure you follow. If you listen on Apple, make sure you subscribe. And leave a 5-star rating. Write a little review. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. If we get some cool reviews, we'll start reading them off. I'm not opposed to reading off reviews, shouting out the listeners. Sure. And tell a friend in need. You know, everybody is wondering what's next to binge. What show should I watch? Which album should I listen to? Well, that's what we're here for. That's what we talk about. We tell you what and what not to watch, as well as fill you in every week on some headlines, yeah, some news, and we give you a top five list usually every week. In regards to the Instagram.
Did you plug my Venmo?
Why?
Just because.
If you want to Venmo Tanner, you can Venmo him at...
Yeah, just at...
Is it TannerSmith46?
I don't know.
Isn't that your Instagram handle?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Well,
whatever.
Well, if you want to Venmo Tanner, I'm sure if you have the means to Venmo him, you'll find him.
It would be a damn shame if everyone were to request thousands of dollars from Tanner.
Oh my God.
It would be the worst thing on the planet if Tanner got at least 10 to 15 Venmo requests a day.
That would be
a damn shame.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
That would be a horrible thing.
Oh, I'd be so upset.
That definitely wouldn't be a way of us gauging who's actually listening to the show or not.
Yeah.
If you listen to this episode, go Venmo request Tanner, but also leave that rating, please. I'd really like that. I'd really like that rating.
Yep.
Real quick, before we dive into the headlines, just wanted to mention something up top. A fellow member of the Binge Boys crew is going through some hard times. Emily, the one who does the run through with me, and she manages our Instagram and works really hard for us. Her family and her are going through a rough time this next couple weeks, probably months. So please keep her in your thoughts. I usually am not the kind of guy that'll say like thoughts and prayers, please, but Emily means a lot to us and to me. So please go don't go anywhere. Don't leave her alone, but pray. Let the man upstairs hear your thoughts and tell him you're thinking about her. So just wanted to give that little shout out before we really got going. Yep. But but big shouts. So big shouts to Emily and the fam.
Shouts.
So that being said, we got a few headlines, a few really cool headlines, and a few not so cool. Sony Pictures over the weekend announced a deal that they have with Netflix. This deal says that Netflix, thanks to Variety, I didn't know that Netflix has emerged the winner of nearly a 2-year auction for the exclusive rights to stream Sony's movies in the first pay TV window starting in 2022. So what's this mean? Netflix is getting... this article sucks. Variety, this sucks. You guys, somebody mentioned to me not too long ago to cite my sources. Well, here we go. Variety, this is not good. essentially, Sony is releasing all of their movies on Netflix after the theatrical run, right? Am I understanding that right, Matt?
I think so. That's how I interpreted it as well. And if there's any sort of, they have the option to release it on Netflix simultaneously, given the sort of tentative state of theaters in some areas.
Sure, sure. In the going ons of the global pandemic.
Ongoing, yeah, yeah.
The ongoing global pandemic. So Sony's releases will go straight to Netflix, either simultaneously as the theaters or as soon as the theatrical runs cap off. They won't go to HBO, Disney Plus, none of that shit. It will go straight to Netflix, which explains why if you go to Disney Plus and you're trying to stream the MCU in order, well, you're going to have to skip Spider-Man Far From Home and Spider-Man Homecoming because Sony owns those movies. Don't forget, those are not Disney movies. Disney's just a partner, or sorry, Marvel Studios is just a partner on those films. Those are owned by Sony. So, yeah.
Don't forget about The Incredible Hulk as well. Shouts to Ed Norton. Not available on Disney Plus either.
I completely forgot about that one, Matt.
Edward Norton.
I feel like a lot of people do.
SMH. Hashtag are you Hulk.
Can we stand, mute, cancel real quick? Ed Norton, Mark Ruffalo, and Lou Gehrig. Lou Gehrig? I can't believe Lou Gehrig, like Lou Gehrig's disease. Lou Ferrigno. Let's stand, mute, cancel Lou, our Hulks real quick. I'll go first. I'm going to stand Mark Ruffalo, mute. Oh, wait. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to stand Mark Ruffalo, cancel Lou, and mute Ed Norton. I think that's the right answer, mostly.
No, I'm canceling Ed Norton. I was kidding. I can't do that in good faith.
Have you ever seen the OG Hulk movie, Tanner? Like way back when?
No.
They essentially just painted the man green.
I mean, he is that big. I've seen him on King of Queens, though.
Oh, okay. Shouts to Kevin James.
That show's hilarious.
Did you know that in The Incredible Hulk, the Ed Norton movie, Lou makes a cameo as the security guard?
Yeah, I saw that on some YouTube video.
He's a big boy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he did play The Incredible Hulk.
He's a big blaster.
So
we're really just giving the 2003 Hulk directed by Ang Lee no love at all.
Oh, wow.
I don't even know what that is.
You would know Ang Lee if you saw some of the other movies, but I cannot name them right now. So, getting out of the Sony news, Warner Brothers made some news about their 2022 slate as well. Warner Brothers blockbusters are going to the theaters first before streaming instead of HBO Max coming first or you know, them releasing simultaneously. Warner Media's CEO reaffirmed the studio's commitment to movie theaters, saying blockbusters will debut in the cinemas before streaming. Warner Brothers just had the biggest box office since the pandemic begun last year with Godzilla vs. Kong. And as more moviegoers are vaccinated and become more comfortable, ticket sales are expected to reach not quite what they were before, but, you know, over time, we'll get there again. In a quote, they say, I think it's very fair to say that a big DC movie is going to go straight to the theaters first and then HBO Max, maybe after 2 months of it being in the theaters, or maybe a month and a half. Who knows? We don't know yet. Oh, yes, we do. Warner Brothers, it'll be in the theaters at least for 45 days starting next year. So that's just, you know, we had all these theories and stuff of all these companies just pivoting to streaming. Well, clearly they are missing out on the box office return. So they are down to go back to the theaters as soon as they can. So looks like this HBO Max thing was just a really nice pivot they had to make during the pandemic. So moving on then. Indiana Jones 5 news, man. Phoebe Waller-Bridge is co-starring with Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones 5 and has been confirmed that John Williams is scoring the movie, which is big. Do you know this woman, Tanner?
It's tight.
I think she's in Fleabag, right, Matt? Is she the Fleabag actress?
Yep. That's her. And she's also going to be in a Mr. and Mrs. Smith remake with Donald Glover.
Yes. We stand Donald Glover on this podcast for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Disney hasn't announced details on who she's playing. She was also in Solo, and she's in the upcoming No Time to Die. So that's tight. You know, the James Bond movie we were supposed to see a year and a half ago. Although franchise creator Steven Spielberg did acknowledge that it might be time for a female iteration of Indiana Jones, similar to the I was gonna say, like, how Warner Media, I think, has said that, like, James Bond isn't necessarily a dude. So there might be a female James Bond at some point. I'm here for it. If it's written well and it, you know, and it doesn't disservice the character, I'm open to seeing it.
Yeah. Sure.
Just don't fuck up what they've already got. that said, using the fifth film to pass the torch from 78-year-old Ford to Waller-Bridge could be a way to rejuvenate the franchise. I said rejuvenate with an Australian little accent there. That said, the last time that this franchise tried to hand things off, it was to one Shia LaBeouf, who played his younger assistant in The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull in 2008. No word about why they never went with Shia LaBeouf. They just kind of, I think they just were like, Did you see Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, Tanner?
Oh, yeah.
I loved it back in the day.
I loved Indiana Jones as a kid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you a big indie guy, Matt, or are you just on the franchise? Matthew. There's a delay going on there.
There isn't. I'm pretty into it.
Okay, cool. Very cool. So we will see more information as time goes on for the Indiana Jones fifth iteration. So with heavy heart, DMX, one of the most famous hip hop rappers of all time, passed away last week on Friday morning. He died at 50.
Yeah.
In this article from CNN, DMX, a rapper known as his music, has died, his family announced in a statement. Quote, "We are deeply saddened to announce today that our loved one DMX, birth name of Earl Simmons, passed away at 50 years old at White Plains Hospital with his family by his side after being placed on life support for the past couple days. Earl was a warrior who fought to the very end. He loved his family with all his heart and his cherish the times they spent with him. The artist was hospitalized last week where he suffered a major heart attack after overdosing on some kind of drug, I think.
It's too bad.
It's too bad.
To see it.
You do hate to see it. Hopefully he's living it up in heaven, and just you know, just raising the roof up in there.
Partying up.
Oh yeah.
And hopefully he's okay. His professional achievements were overshadowed in recent years with his substance abuse and run-ins with the law. He pleaded guilty to tax fraud in 2017. He served a year in prison. 2019, he canceled a planned concert tour to seek treatment for addiction. Says he was putting family and sobriety first. And absolutely sad thing. This article from CNN was really trying to paint him as a bad dude. All right, CNN. Shouts to you guys. Hey, CNN, you suck, just like Variety. So yes, rest in peace to DMX. Hopefully him and his hopefully his family is finding some peace. But 50, damn, he was young.
That sucks.
That ain't it.
He started making music when he was like in high school.
Yeah, that's absolutely insane. So keeping it on the same train, unfortunately, Prince Philip, defined by role of husband to British Queen, passed away last, I think, Thursday night or Friday morning as well. Prince Philip, the tough-minded husband of Queen Elizabeth II, spent more than 7 decades supporting his wife in that role, died in Buckingham Palace on Friday. He was 99 years old.
Damn.
His life spanned nearly a century of European history. And, one of the oldest monarchs living in the 21st century. So big shouts to them. Hopefully that family is suffering. Jesus Christ is finding peace as well. In a statement, they said, "It is with deep sorrow that Her Majesty the Queen has announced the death of her beloved husband, His Royal Highness, the Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh." The palace said, "His Royal Highness passed away peacefully this morning at Windsor Castle." So that's a huge moment for the world, really.
Yeah.
Big shouts to the royal family. And that's really sad. Hate that these things happen usually in threes. So let's hope that nobody else gets got by life. And that's it really for the headlines this week. Why don't we dive straight into the Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Let's do it.
Matt, episode 4 of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier was entitled "The World Was Watching." And by the end of the episode, you know damn well what they were watching.
Holy crap.
Yep.
Marvel went there, man.
I will, if you don't mind me leading it off here, I will be the first to say I was wrong. I do not think what's his name will redeem himself in a sacrifice at the end. I think he is very much so the villain of this show.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. I was listening to another podcast this morning and they were going back and forth on villains of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Let's play another game of stand, mute, cancel. Let's play stand, mute, cancel, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, potential villains. We got Zemo, we got the Flag Smashers, and we got John Walker.
Ooh, how about swapping out Zemo with the Power Broker?
I
don't know a lot about what I didn't really
understand. Okay, we can swap it out. I just really wanted to stand Zemo.
That can be noted.
Damn, Zemo's a badass.
Especially dancing Zemo.
Oh
the
yeah.
The whole that hour long video they put out.
Shouts to Marvel for releasing the Zemo cut on their YouTube, and it's just an hour of Zemo dancing.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Apparently that scene, by the way, was completely improvised by the actor, that he was supposed to just rummage through some people and that he turned, looked at the camera, and just kind of did the fist pump a few times. So shouts to Zemo for improvising that. Or Daniel I don't know how to say his last name.
I'm not doing it.
Okay. It's Bruja or Bruja. I don't know. Stop it.
Sorry.
I know exactly what you're referencing.
What?
Batman Arkham Asylum.
What? Brouhaha.
That's what Bane called the doctor. The brouhaha.
Oh, brouhaha. Yep.
And there is reason I'm a nerd.
Oh, yeah.
So back to Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Back to Foz.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I kind of saw this coming. Not the fact that John Walker would kill a man in the middle of the street with the Captain America shield.
God.
Basically decapitating him.
Decapitating him.
Yeah. Yeah, he decapitated
Sorry. Him. That was bad.
Yeah, that dude got. And the world was watching. And that image of the shield just battered
bloody,
in blood.
Ew, that was crazy.
From the low angle. Symbolism. Yeah, especially.
Symbolism.
He is.
So
he's in trouble.
So. Before we really talk about like just our general thoughts on the episode, what do you guys think goes down next episode? Do you think that John Walker becomes like villain of the show, or do you think like U.S. government sees that and strips that shield from him and is like, nah, dude, you can't be doing that shit. You just represented America and like the legacy of Steve Rogers. Like, we're yanking the shield from you. Or do you think it's a greater chance that the government kind of sweeps it under the rug and doesn't take the shield from him?
I think he goes rogue. I think the government does like try and rein him in, but he now thinks that he's better than everybody because he is now a super soldier. Just full spoilers ahead, as we always say. So that just really feeds into the sort of superiority that he's sort of had going in. So I think he goes rogue, and I think actually Sam and Bucky go after him to try and just try and get the shield back, or try and, you know, get this guy to be brought in somehow.
I kind of think he's just gonna, well, I think like he's gonna become a public enemy, but I kind of feel like they're not gonna replace him. They're not gonna try to replace him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, like,
I don't know.
Because if the government does take the shield from him, are they like, Sam, are you sure you don't want it? Or do you think Sam steps in and says, like, I made a mistake turning it down. It's mine now.
Like, I think that has to happen.
I will represent Captain America. Or do you think that, like, last episode, the show ends with Sam, like, that action shot we get in the trailer of Sam training with the shield? Like, is that the last, like, 10 minutes of the show?
I think it's last episode. I don't think it's like last full shot.
Okay. So we'll bounce around to the different plot points that we kind of still don't have answers on. What the hell's going on with Sharon? She's still up to no good. She still works for the power broker. Who's the power broker, bro?
I don't know.
They're not of Earth, is my prediction.
Really?
Just Scroll the scroll were the that was the big reveal at one of the big reveals at the end of WandaVision. So I think that could be another reveal here. I don't know if it's someone like going by a different name that we've already seen, or you know, a brand new player in this new phase that we're in.
I'm still kind of clasping to the theory that General Ross is the power broker.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's valid. I think that's a good theory.
Although I do enjoy the thought of, because, you know, they do have a show coming out, I think it's next summer, and it's called Secret Invasion. And the Secret Invasion comic book is essentially like the moment where like Skrulls come out as like half of the Avengers. Like they were Skrulls the whole time. So, like, what if in all of these Disney Plus shows, they're, like, planting those Skrulls to, like, build up to that big event?
That's a good point.
So, that's a thought. Like,
that is a thought.
It's a damn good one.
Yes, it is a damn good one.
Shouts to Matt.
I got too ahead of ourselves. No, just kidding.
So Sharon,
I don't know.
You got to think she's up to no good.
She's really not doing much. She's just sort of, yeah, definitely in the background and just kind of tugging strings, not really getting too back into the fray. But also I can see why she, you know, isn't diving at the chance to help them out after, you know, they seemingly abandoned her.
Yeah.
What are the chances that, I'm curious what you guys think. Like, do you think Marvel is full blown, like, going to just start telling viewers, like, if you don't have Disney Plus and you're not keeping up with the TV shows on Disney Plus, then when it comes time for the movies, you are going to be behind. Do you think they're going to go with that mindset, or are they going to like, what are the chances we don't find out who the power broker is during the show? And like, the power broker is someone that's teased in the next couple of movies and or shows. And then is just like, what if the power broker is like Dr. Doom or something? Like, I'm thinking way out there, way far out, but like, how do we know that it's like not Marvel, like building up to like the next villain?
Yeah, it sounds like Marvel, to be honest.
What if it's Mephisto?
Mephisto.
We didn't learn our lesson from WandaVision.
Yeah, that Mephisto's actually not the villain.
Mephisto's just everybody.
I don't know, man. What'd you think of the death scene, Matt, of Battlestar?
Oh, shouts to Lamar. You know, they always like, I feel like in especially a lot of superhero, but more so just like action movies and stuff, they always talk about deaths or whatever feeling earned or cheap, just sort of that as like the two spectrums. And this one was kind of in the middle. Like, I feel like it just sort of really, it's like, well, okay, if he's just going to kind of die in this, like, not, you know, calling it an incidental fight is not, true, but it wasn't, you know, like a big final battle. It was just kind of like another skirmish with the Flag Smashers, and it really just sort of set up Lamar there to just kind of be just a pawn to trigger new Cap. So that kind of, I don't feel great about like that. And it's like, why, I don't know, it was just weird to me, like, why show him getting out of those restraints just to kill him off like 3 minutes later? That was just kind of odd to me. What about you guys?
Yeah, that's a good point. But I don't know.
I'm wondering
how I felt about that.
I'm wondering, like, I'm kind of in the middle where you are, Matt. Yeah. Like, he's not a character that we've known for a while, so part of me doesn't feel much of him leaving or for him dying. But when he did die, I was like, oh, fuck.
Me too. I was like, oh, shit.
Like, because we knew.
But not, once, like, not for any reason of Lamar, just for.
Yeah, it was just because.
Yeah.
It was only because
I can't think of his name. New Cap.
Like, they almost used his character to be the version or the reason why he. Cap goes off the deep end. I hate that I called him Cap just then.
I know.
John,
he ain't Cap.
John Walker.
I'm gonna say like
John Walker. John Walker.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. It's it was an incredible episode for sure. I think it might be good. My favorite of the show so far.
Same.
I think so. Either that or maybe episode one. I really liked episode one a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of Carly ringing up Sam's sister? And it's just like, listen, if Sam doesn't cooperate with me, I'm going to come find you.
That was powerful.
That was like messed up. I'm glad Sam, like, in some way got through to Carly, like, enough to even try and like figure out how to talk again. I think that dynamic's interesting. And I think that's really, you know, showing as to why he is the rightful Captain America. He's solving the problems in sort of the manner that they're most fit to be solved. And it's, you know, not always punching through 100 guys. Sometimes just having a conversation.
Yeah. There's, I feel like I'm trying to think, before I move on to like loose ends for the episode, what'd you think about the little Wakandan spar we got? We got the Wakandan chicks coming in and kicking ass for a minute.
That was cool.
That reminds me of a question. So to sort of answer your question first, I thought it was awesome, of course. I think like it just sort of really showed the gap in, you know, on the spectrum of normal human to Wakandan to Super Soldier. Yeah. But when John Walker asked Lamar, if you had the opportunity to take the serum, would you do it? Do you think that was like the final like thumbs up that Walker needed to take the serum? Or do you think he had already done it at that point and was just looking for validation?
I think
that's a really good question. I don't know, man.
I think he just wanted to get another opinion, and then he took it. I think he was the final string.
That's what I think
he wanted
to
take it from the start, but
man, that's so tough because we literally don't know, and we'll never get that answer. Probably not.
Yeah.
It just for theorizing, in the case of theorizing, part of me thinks that he, was almost just like looking for that last piece of like, this guy's my best friend.
One more kind of thing I want to ask about with John Walker. Do you think we'll learn what was so miserable about his day where he got the medals of honor? I thought that we were going to get that this episode, but then he kind of like left it hanging. So I feel like that could be kind of like in his last like dying soliloquy or whatever. That's kind of how I think that'll play out, because they sort of set that up to sort of transition into loose threads from the episode that you were trying to get us back to, Logan.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Shout out to Tanner for winning a phone charger. I'm not editing that out just because I want people to know. I want people to know.
I'm difficult.
That Tanner you're just trying to keep it going, Matt.
I was over here cooking by myself. I crushed it.
No, I'm leaving that in. I'm not mad. I'm just fucking playing with you. You just drove here. Why does your phone need charge? Did you plug it in?
No, it's just I forgot to charge it last night. Then I went to
work. In the car, though, on the way here?
I don't have a car charger.
Why?
Just, I don't know.
I feel like that raises bigger questions than this show does.
I don't know, to be honest.
You don't charge your phone in the car?
No, never.
That's a psycho move. Is that a certified psycho move, Matt?
It's psychotic to not have a phone charger in your car.
Yeah, I don't.
What happens when you get into an accident and you need to call somebody? Then what?
Not calling anybody.
Jesus Christ. All right. This raises more concerns than anything.
I've been meaning to put one in there. I just forget.
Because do you have it in the center console?
Yeah.
Do you also have like the cigarette lighter?
Cigarette lighter.
That's what it's called.
Really?
That's what people lit cigarettes with back in the day.
I can light up my cigarettes with that?
Yep. Definitely. Cool. You definitely said that on air.
I'm just kidding. I don't suck cigarettes.
You don't suck cigarettes?
Smoke cigarettes.
Oh, I thought you said suck. Sucking up that nicotine. That's one way to do it. Yeah, man. Loose ends. Where the hell did Zemo go?
Yeah. Dude, that seems so cliche that he just snuck away in the heat of the battle. It's like, this is one of the most dangerous people in the world, and he just whoop.
Well, you know what? I don't know if you guys caught this, but like, he literally did what he did in Civil War again. He got the heroes to fight each other again. Specializes in getting friends to fuck each other up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's Zemo. That's that loose end. Where the hell did he go? Number two, the power broker. We discussed that. We don't know who the hell it is. It could be. I'm very much so interested in who's going to get the shield in the end. What if the show completely surprises us and gives it to Bucky?
I hope so.
That'd be tight. I'm here for that. He's not going to take it.
No. He'll say Steve wanted you to have it, so you'll have it.
And then he just gives it back to the government and it starts all over again.
And then part two, Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I'm
just looking back.
You keep looking back like someone's like standing behind us.
I just do that.
Tanner likes to look back at it. Jesus, I'm so glad that wasn't on video. I heard that one of the producers tweeted out last week that episode 5 has a cameo from a very big star.
Be careful.
Be careful.
We've been down this road before.
We sure have. We were told Doctor Strange was going to be in the show, and he never came.
No, no. You TikTok told you Doctor Strange was going to be in the
you're
show.
You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. I overhyped myself. Kevin Feige has also said that episode 5 will make us cry. So, we discussed this thought last week. What are the chances that, you know, they filmed this movie prior to the pandemic? What are the chances that we see Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther? I'm not going to really, really try to dive that, like, go deep into that, but that would be chilling.
Yes,
it would.
That would be.
I could also see it. I could also see a character death as well. I'm not, no idea who, but that's obviously another thing on the table when you hear that will cry.
Yeah, yeah.
What now I'm nervous.
At this point, like, the only characters I can picture myself crying for is, oh, what if it was, oh, what if Steve Rogers dies?
Oh.
What if Steve Rogers officially dies next episode, like, of old age?
Well, here I am crying on a podcast thinking about that. So thank you for that.
Yeah, a lot of loose ends. I think for the most part, we all loved this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Marvel went dark, and I'm not mad about it.
Me neither.
No, we need more.
So we do need more. We got 2 episodes left. This coming weeks, I'm pretty sure I heard was like 56 minutes long, like the longest that the show has been yet.
Longest Disney.
This one was like 55. It was a long boy.
It's awesome.
Hey, Marvel, keep giving us those. Would you guys rather have 10 episodes of 30 minute, or would you rather have the 6 hour long episodes?
Six hour long. Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. I agree. You're essentially just getting 2 movies in that sense.
Exactly.
So,
yeah,
you know, it'd be really tight.
Or a Snyder cut.
You know, it'd be really tight is if this, like, after the shows were done, Marvel would release a supercut, and it's essentially just like a 6 hour movie of the show, just like without like cuts, like when episodes ends, nice. Like it just carries on. That'd be pretty cool if they did that.
That would be cool.
Or sort of once the phase is done, like one long, like chronological, like this is what was happening in the world, like, because. You know, this is obviously post blip, but I think this is probably after the events of WandaVision. I can't, you know, I have no backing of that, but that's just kind of my thinking. It's either simultaneously or after.
On Disney Plus, I actually figured this out the other night because I too was in question on that subject. On Disney Plus, it shows, you know, it there's an option that says watch the MCU in chronological order. And it goes like Endgame, Spider-Man. Well, Spider-Man's not there, but it would have been there. Then WandaVision, then Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So
okay,
that's so you are correct.
Cool.
So we'll see everybody next time for episode 5. We're almost there.
Getting there.
But before we talk about the albums I listened to last week, let's talk about Netflix movie Thunder Force.
Thunder Force.
So some information about Thunder Force for those of you who actually have no idea what Thunder Force is. I'm sure there's a few of you that don't know what Thunder Force is. It's a Netflix comedy that stars Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer, directed by Ben Falcone, of course, Melissa McCarthy's husband. In a world where supervillains are commonplace, two childhood best friends reunite after one devises a treatment that gives them powers to protect the city. Starring, of course, Melissa McCarthy, Octavia Spencer, Jason Bateman as well. Lovely to see Jason Bateman. so, and it's important to note, Palm... I can't pronounce her last name. The girl that played Laser, that's the girl that plays Mantis in Guardians. Mantis.
Yeah, I saw that right
away. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so familiar. Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, Ben also starring Ben Falcone as the dude who just gets picked on the entire movie.
Kenny. No, Kenny was dead.
Shouts to Kenny. Thunder Force. Tanner, what'd you think of Thunder Force?
Well, I went into it kind of, I wasn't too interested.
Yeah.
But, you know, about 30 minutes in, I got interested. It was hilarious. And it's actually pretty good. It had a good story. It held up for a little bit of an action movie, action comedy.
Yeah.
So I liked it. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
You enjoyed it. You didn't hate that you watched it?
No, not at all. Turns out it was pretty funny.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Thanks for those
freaking
thoughts.
Jason Bateman with the crab arms. That's so funny.
Did you guys catch the scene when they were in the supermarket and like Jason Bateman like crab walked out of frame?
Oh, every
like,
time. Yeah. No, that was very funny.
There was a few moments where I laughed out loud. That was one of them where I was like, yes. Okay, agreed. They are killing it with this crab, like so the crab funny. Puns and stuff. But Matt, what did you think of Thunder Force?
I was not a fan of Thunder Force. I give it a 2 out of 5. Like this, it was the same. I mean, similar but different to AI or Superintelligence, whatever the Melissa McCarthy one we watched a few months ago.
Yep.
Not so much in that movie couldn't focus on like what it was. This was a lot more focused. This, you know, had its story and kind of its editing figured out, but like, I just don't think it really sort of leaned into what I think is the funnier parts of Melissa McCarthy as an actress. I don't like her just kind of off on her own riffing. I think what was really funny about her in like Bridesmaids was everyone else was kind of playing it straight, doing whatever. And then she was there to kind of, you know, throw in just sort of completely throw a big wrinkle in the energy. I just like so many of these scenes, there'd be like, you know, it was dialogue progressing. And then, and like, it would hit Melissa McCarthy and just meander for like 5 minutes. I was like, all right, and it's like, no offense, the plot was very formulaic, so I could like see exactly like where it was going. It's like, all right, I've seen this scene before in 1,000 movies. I can see exactly where this is going to go. Why, can you please stop wasting our time, Mr. Falcone? But yeah, not to dump on it too bad, because I know you both enjoyed it a little bit more. So maybe that was your point, having me go second, Logan, just to have the downer in the middle. So how about you round us out with your thoughts?
No, I wanted to get the two opposite ends of the spectrum, because my reasoning, I gave the movie a 4 out of 5 also, because I remember seeing a trailer for it way back and I was like, okay, this is going to be one of those movies that like could be potentially pretty funny. Melissa McCarthy has an okay track record. I love personally Octavia Spencer. She's a great actress. So I was here for it. I didn't know Jason Bateman was in it until the movie. So that was a great surprise.
Me neither.
But to your point, Matt, the movie was quite stupid. Very, very mindless comedy here. Like, this is a movie you just throw on. Like, you're not like, oh my God, get the kids, we're watching Thunder Force tonight. It's like,
right.
It's like you're having a game night. You're down in some drinks with some friends. Like, hey, let's throw that new stupid Melissa McCarthy movie on in the background. So like,
sure.
So over the past couple of years, when a Melissa McCarthy movie comes out, I have now accepted her filmography as those exactly. Like, stupid comedies that I know I'm not going to give too much of a shit of a week after it comes out. But the only reason I gave that 4 out of 5 is because I knew with that going in that there were a few laughs. The action was pretty decent. The special effects were fine. And I enjoyed the cast. I mean, the cast looked like they had a lot of fun making it. So, yeah, I mean, in defense of Tanner, it had some good action and it was funny in scenes. And then in Matt's defense, it's a fucking stupid movie. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that too.
I'm not trying to say the comedy just didn't land for me as much as it clearly did for you guys. So that, like, if it's a comedy and I don't laugh, I'm not giving it a high score. It's just sort of simple as that.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. And maybe that speaks more about your sense of humor versus my 12-year-old sense of humor. Same. That laughs like when I see, you know, this is going to sound mean, but this is the exact formula that Melissa McCarthy movies follow.
Yeah.
Fat girl falling off of things, fat girl getting knocked over, fat girl getting hit by a bus. Like, that makes me laugh.
Sure, sure.
And that's what this movie is. Like, it's like if Adam Sandler made a superhero movie, like a bunch of stupid poop jokes and fart jokes and fat jokes. And this comedy can be embraced by people of all ages. This isn't a mature comedy or anything. Like, you could probably watch it with your 12-year-old and be okay. So, Tanner, did you have any closing?
They're very advanced.
Matt's 12-year-olds are going to be watching movies like Interstellar.
Yeah, they're gonna be. We just watch Citizen Kane every Thursday, actually.
So, Tanner, do you have closing thoughts on Thunder Force, or do you think it was just, you know, it was fine for what it was?
I kind of feel like they're gonna make a second one.
I definitely see that coming.
Yeah.
Do you see a sequel in this movie's future, Matt?
You don't tease a side or a third team member at the very end of the movie to then just cut it off there.
The albums that I've listened to over the last week on that quest of albums and stuff that I should listen to, I've listened to a few more. Not going to go into it that deep, but I've kind of settled on listening to like 5 a week, maybe 1 a day, to get me over the next couple months. I listened to Get Rich or Die Tryin' by 50 Cent, Good Kid, Mad City. Oh, I have not seen the movie.
It's very okay. You have no reason to.
Okay, noted. Good Kid, Mad City, Kendrick Lamar, which is a pretty damn good one. You know a lot of those songs. They were all hits a few years ago. Long Live ASAP by ASAP Rocky. Not a big ASAP Rocky guy, but I thoroughly enjoyed myself listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
2014 Forest Hills Drive by J. Cole. It was fine. Sorry, Pearson. He was very upset with my 3 out of 5 or 3.5 out of 5 score on that.
Sure.
And then Hannah Montana, the movie. Shouts to,
not gonna lie.
Shouts to Morgan from Creeps and Crimes podcast for telling me to listen to it. And you know what? I didn't hate it.
Bad.
Did not hate it.
It isn't bad.
There are bangers on that album.
Yes, there is.
Is it better than Forest Hills Drive?
It scored higher than Forest Hills Drive.
No, all right, okay. What knocked okay. Forest Hills Drive down? That's okay, my question.
Okay, yeah, let me pull up the songs that I listened to on Forest Hills Drive. So I listened to the whole album top to bottom, and I mean the final song of the album is 12 and a half minutes of J. Cole just thanking his friends, like. Fuck out of here with that shit. I don't need that.
It's a concept album. They always do weird shit like that. So is Good Kid, Mad City. That's a whole story over a night.
Yeah, yeah. It's a story, but it was at least entertaining. This album, more or less, with the exception of Wet Dreams, No Role Models, and I really liked January 28th as well.
I like Apparently. I think that's my favorite track on there now that I'm looking at it.
Apparently is also very good. I kept that one too. I put that one in a playlist. This album kind of flowed. There weren't, with the exception of 4 songs or so, there weren't many standouts. So like, I feel like you could throw it on in the background and like an hour would go by and you'd be like, oh shit, it's over. I didn't realize it was over. It was, which maybe to the album's credit. I mean, it's not a bad album by any means. It's just not my type of rap either.
Sure,
It's very story driven, whereas I am very just like almost like the Melissa McCarthy movie. Like I'm very just like, give me something that's catchy and feels good bumping. Like,
yeah, yeah. So listening to J. Cole's definitely like different than even on this list. Just listen to ASAP Rocky because they're two very different things. But I do find it interesting that like you like the Kendrick Lamar a lot, but weren't a huge fan of J. Cole because they get compared and. You know, sort of put on the same sort of level. So I definitely interesting. Sort of speaks to the Kendrick skill.
I am going to go out on a limb. Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole being compared. I'll say this, not even close.
Well, not necessarily in terms of, you know, quality, but just in terms of style and kind of very lyric driven, clever schemes. That kind of stuff. I think I'm more sympathetic to it just because that's kind of what I listen to rap for. So I take your not even close and disagree wholeheartedly.
Oh shit. I forgot to say that I also listened to Watch the Throne by Jay-Z and Kanye West.
Okay.
And I enjoyed that as well.
Yep. Yep.
I enjoyed Fearless more than J. Cole's album.
Hey man. We've all got bad takes.
And you being a huge Taylor Swift fan, I want to hear your thoughts.
That is being put on me just because I liked Evermore and the first one.
You have gone to bat for Taylor Swift on Twitter. You are a Taylor Swift fan, Matt.
So, just because I appreciate good music doesn't mean I'm a fan of Taylor Swift.
Would you label yourself as a Taylor Swift fan, Tanner?
Not a fan, but I'll listen. You know, if it comes on, if it's good, I might like it. You know, if anything bumps,
what constitutes as a fan? Like what fits in the, like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like what constitutes as like, do you have to have gone to X amount of concerts? Do you have to have merch? Like, do you listen to them immediately when a new song drops? Like what constitutes as a fan?
The metric to go from, you know, unaware of an artist to a fan, the metric I've heard is 2 whole albums of like songs you give a thumbs up minus like 2 songs.
Okay.
Which I think that's a bit steep, but like I respect it. But yeah, I don't think necessarily concerts is, or just something in there that like speaks to you, or yeah, I think that that's another really good rule to have it be something that you are anxiously awaiting more music from them. I think that that's like another good, if you check that box, I think you can call yourself a fan.
Okay. Well then honestly, I think I might be a Taylor Swift fan over a J. Cole fan. If I had to pick one of the two, I'm a Taylor Swift fan. I'm a Taylor Swift fan over J. Cole. I'll say it. Sorry, Pearson.
The comparison that nobody asked for. We started at Kendrick and Cole, and we ended up at Taylor and Cole.
Well, we'll have plenty of Taylor talk, because I think next week, just to give you a little preview, unless I'm forgetting something, man, I think we have a pretty slow week of content. So next week, I'm thinking we watch the Netflix documentary that's getting a lot of attention called Seaspiracy. It's about ocean life and government corruption, something like that. As well as a review for Fearless, Falcon and Winter Soldier episode 5, and maybe we'll round it out with top 5 Taylor Swift songs.
Mm. Okay, maybe I am a fan, because I'm just thinking that would be really difficult.
Yeah, you are, dude. Maybe I am too. This is my moment. Like, I've hated on Taylor Swift for my entire life, but when I listened to Fearless, sure. I was like, damn, like, come on. Like, Taylor was unmatched early in the 2000s, man.
Yeah, I guess you're calling me a fan and not necessarily a Swiftie. Those are 2 very different things.
No. I would not. not accusing you as a Swiftie. Not at all. Just a fan. Not even a stan. Just a fan.
Sure.
Appreciate that was, I think,
tour.
Yes, absolutely. I just remembered what I did this weekend, bro.
What you did?
At the end of the episode, bro, talking about Taylor Swift made me remember it. I went out with Shelby and her boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
My cousin was in town. And I completely forgot. Shouts to Shelby. She's not listening to this. But, yeah, went to the bars Saturday night and got lit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not really to the bars. We went to this little Atlanta, like, bowling alley slash brewery kind of situation, and just kind of downed some drinks and had a good time. So, shouts to Shelby. Shouts to Shelby. We're done. I can't talk today. That was episode 190. As again, thanks to Matt and Tanner for being here.
Absolutely.
As always.
And run through on Thursday, School of Rock. Make sure you're subscribed and following along on Instagram, iTunes, and Spotify. Big shouts, prayers up for Emily and her family. Yes. And we'll see everybody next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.